Have you any idea how important it is for a person to reach a decision when you're thinking in terms of the gospel? Do you realize that a person might know all the right things in the gospel and still be lost, that his soul would be lost? So often, the whole interest in a church service or a preaching service is in the matter of giving information, or perhaps the matter of receiving inspiration. People generally listen to a preacher in a rather critical way, asking themselves, now, do I agree with what he is saying? Is he saying the right thing? Do I like the way in which he is saying it? Is he a good preacher? And perhaps if he is talking about something that should be done, we're inclined to sit in our pews and reflect upon it and ask ourselves, would that be a desirable procedure? Would we agree with him or would we differ with him? So that actually it turns out that we could go to church, attend church, and take part in the services, and even listen to the preaching for weeks or months or even years, and never face the one real question that's at the basis of any relationship that ever will be established with God. What will you do with Jesus Christ? That is, after all, the basic and essential matter. One could phrase it something like this: where will you spend eternity? When all talk and everything else is all over, what about you? What have you done with Jesus Christ? What's going to happen to you? Now, all of this can be understood and seen as it is vividly demonstrated in the latter part of chapter 26 in the book of Acts. We're studying in the book of Acts, and if you have your Bible with you, and we'll turn to the latter part of chapter 26, we will notice there what happened toward the end of Paul's time before King Agrippa. Paul had been brought into court, accused of creating a disturbance, brought into the Roman court of the representative of the Roman government because he was to be charged with being a disturber of the peace. When they brought him in there, they were not able to find anything at all that would indicate that he had broken any laws or had actually disturbed the peace at all. But he took advantage of the situation, of the occasion in which he was in prison, to give testimony to his faith in the gospel. And this is what he had done before Agrippa. And he had told Agrippa how it was. And then when they had discussed it, he had pressed upon Agrippa and upon Festus, who was there with Agrippa, that the matters that dealt with the soul and with eternity and with God were of first importance. Then you will remember we noticed in our last study that Festus cried out and said, Paul, much learning doth make thee mad. And we noticed that in our language that would be a way of saying, you're so educated, you're just becoming unbalanced, you've just gone crazy. And Paul's answer, you remember, was that he wasn't a bit unbalanced, he wasn't a bit crazy. He was actually saying the things that were the truth, that this was the truth of the gospel, and these things were known. And he said, I speak freely in front of the king because the king knows about these things. And then we come to verse 27. Now we're in chapter 26 of the book of Acts, and we turn to verse 27, and Paul puts the matter directly before the king. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And here again we'll need to keep in mind that when he says, believest thou the prophets, he's not saying in effect, do you think the history, the historical records of the Bible are true? That's not what he's asking. Do you think that the things that we find in there that are of a biographical nature, that those things are true? That's not the point. The thing is that the prophets, the truth of the matter is, the prophets preached the truth of God. They preached to Israel certain promises of God. They emphasized to the people who heard them that God would do certain things. Now, do you believe it? Do you believe the promises they made? Do you believe the things that they prophesied would happen? Do you believe that the injunctions that they gave that should be upon us as to what we should do? Do you receive those things? Believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Meaning to say, Paul was sure that Agrippa, deep down in his heart, felt that the prophets had actually told the truth. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. I want you to notice that Paul's challenge to Agrippa, believest thou in the prophets? I know that thou believest, is personal. And this is a very needed element in all teaching and preaching. Personal. That man who is teaching, that man who is preaching, should deal with the people who are listening to him directly, person to person. And practical. There's something to be done. It's not philosophical, something to be thought. It's not intellectual, something to be figured out. It's something practical. It's something to be done. You can commit yourself to what is promised, do you? In that case, you're a believer. If you don't, you're not a believer. It doesn't make any difference about other things at this point. So that Paul's question was personal, it was practical, and it was specific. He came right down to a point and asked him point blank, do you believe the prophets? Do you believe what's to be found in the prophets? I know that thou believest. And then Paul, as you say, and then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now I know there are people who have indicated that these words are probably to be understood as being said in sarcasm or in a sneer. I'm not sure one needs to do that. I'm not sure that one needs to read that into it. I don't have any evidence as I read along in here to think that Agrippa would have been that kind of a man. I can see where he would be the kind of man to try to get out of facing the issue, but I don't see where he'd be the kind of man who would make fun of it in any way or would dismiss it as being of no account. I doubt whether that's what that means, that he is saying sarcastically, you persuade me to be a Christian, as if he'd just be sarcastically putting it the other way. No, I think this is true. Personally, to me, when I read this, I think that Agrippa actually had the feeling that there was something so proper and something so right about Paul's stand that he could personally have taken it. Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Then Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. In which Paul presses the matter home to him and urges him to consider this thing and to commit himself in this fashion. When he has said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian, he has indicated that this matter becoming a Christian is a matter of persuasion. There is in it an element of choice or of decision. In other words, you could know all the facts and not give yourself to them, you wouldn't be a Christian. If you knew the facts, you wouldn't even have to know them all, but you knew enough of them to know about the Lord Jesus Christ and his relationship, and you received him, then you would be a Christian. And this would be a matter of persuasion, whether you were persuaded to do it. And this man uses it in that fashion. Now we read on in the remainder of this chapter, and we'll notice something that's very sobering. After Paul had said, I wish to God that every one of you were as I am, when he had thus spoken, we read in verse 30, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked among themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Now it means to say that when Agrippa and those who were with him had listened to Paul, and faced Paul, and went off by themselves to talk it over, they came to the conclusion that Paul hadn't done anything that was worthy of death, that the matter of talking about putting him to death was just foolishness, and he hadn't done anything to deserve to be in bondage. That is true that Paul had been preaching, but Paul's preaching had all been for everybody else's benefit. He had actually helped people. This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. When this appealing unto Caesar, you know, is like taking your case to the Supreme Court. And he had filed an appeal, and it was to be taken to the Supreme Court. And this is just saying that once having started that machinery going, you couldn't stop it. You just have to go on through with it. And that's the way they put it. But now notice in this whole thing, no action was taken. Now, Paul had preached. Agrippa had listened. Agrippa had been affected. Agrippa saw the whole truth. But he took no action. Nothing happened. So far as Festus is concerned, he saw the whole thing. And he saw and felt everything that was being said and done. But no action was taken. You know, when we meet together in company, sometimes like we meet together in a council meeting or in a session meeting or in a group meeting, and it's all organized to get things done in the best way that we possibly can, someone gets up and makes a motion. And he proposes that we act in a certain way. He explains it and he makes the motion. Nobody takes it up. Nobody goes on with it. And then we have a way of saying, the motion died for want of a second. Have you ever heard that? Well, I think that with reference to this and the gospel, after you have heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that he has come to seek and to save the lost, you know in yourself that you are a lost sinner, you understand that Christ has come, then the call goes out to you, and you're asked to come to the Lord and dedicate yourself to him. Commit yourself over to him to obey him. That's what you're asked to do. And that motion is made. It's a motion that is made, I move that John Smith begin to serve the Lord. Then John Smith doesn't do anything. Just listens and says nothing. And you will know what happens. It just happens that John Smith never becomes a Christian. He just never turns to the Lord. He had a chance. It was set there before him. The call was put out to him. And he faced it. And he understood it. But he didn't do anything about it. And he goes away without it. There must be a personal response. The whole matter of preaching should lead a person to the point where you decide whether you're going to or you're not going to give yourself to God. It's true that the information is needed and inspiration is needed, but commitment is involved. It's a matter of acceptance. It's a matter of yielding oneself. And Agrippa didn't, and he is another one of those people of whom we have a number in the Bible who saw the truth, didn't act on it, and missed the whole thing. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us to act on these things and to turn to Thee. For Thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.